City and Guilds Qualifications. International ESOL Achiever Level B1. New 2009 CEFR Aligned Practice Paper 1. Part 1. You will hear 6 sentences twice. Choose the best reply to each sentence. Look at the example. If you hear, "Do you know where Citibank is, please?" "Do you know where Citibank is, please?" The best reply is B. Put a circle round the letter of the best reply. Number 1.
I'm so sorry I didn't call last night. I'm so sorry I didn't call last night.
Number 2.
This has been the best evening I've had in ages. This has been the best evening I've had in ages.
Number 3.
Would you rather have tea or coffee? Would you rather have tea or coffee?
Number 4.
You really should check your spelling before you send that. You really should check your spelling before you send that.
Number 5.
Are you saying we shouldn't eat meat? Are you saying we shouldn't eat meat?
Number 6.
I'm not really sure. Can I think about it? I'm not really sure. Can I think about it?
That is the end of Part 1. Part 2. You will hear 3 short conversations. Listen to the conversations and choose the best answer to complete the sentence. Put a circle round the letter of the best answer. You will hear each conversation twice. Look at the questions for conversation 1. Conversation 1.
What do you think of that guy?
Who?
The one who's just moved in next door.
I don't know. Why?
Well, I was thinking of asking him to have our front door key. We might lock ourselves out.
We don't know him that well, do we? Only had coffee that once with him and...
But do you think we can trust him with the key? Do you feel he's safe? Honest?
The only thing I have noticed is that he often goes out and leaves his windows wide open.
Oh?
Then one day I saw his key in his back door. So maybe he's a bit, you know...
Oh, right. Perhaps we'll hold on to the key till we get to know him a bit better.
Yep.
What do you think of that guy?
Who?
The one who's just moved in next door.
I don't know. Why?
Well, I was thinking of asking him to have our front door key. We might lock ourselves out.
We don't know him that well, do we? Only had coffee that once with him and...
But do you think we can trust him with the key? Do you feel he's safe? Honest?
The only thing I have noticed is that he often goes out and leaves his windows wide open.
Oh?
Then one day I saw his key in his back door. So maybe he's a bit, you know...
Oh, right. Perhaps we'll hold on to the key till we get to know him a bit better.
Yep.
Now look at the questions for conversation two. Conversation two.
They say that criminals are getting more clever every minute. We need stronger punishments.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I know you can't believe everything you read, but...
Well, what about this story I read in the paper?
Hmm?
There was this thief in a shop. He stole someone's mobile phone. The sales assistant saw him, but wasn't quick enough to stop him leaving. But she had the bright idea to ask the phone's owner for the number.
And?
They rang the number and...
No, I don't believe it. You're not saying...
Yes, the thief was so silly that he answered the call and the police were able to trace the phone. A thief like that needs sympathy, not punishment.
Yeah, I think you're right. They say that criminals are getting more clever every minute. We need stronger punishments.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I know you can't believe everything you read, but...
Well, what about this story I read in the paper?
Hmm?
There was this thief in a shop. He stole someone's mobile phone. The sales assistant saw him, but wasn't quick enough to stop him leaving. But she had the bright idea to ask the phone's owner for the number.
And?
They rang the number and...
No, I don't believe it. You're not saying...
Yes, the thief was so silly that he answered the call and the police were able to trace the phone. A thief like that needs sympathy, not punishment.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Now look at the questions for conversation three. Conversation three.
Have you ever done this work before?
I did this last summer for another organisation.
Why haven't you gone back to them?
You're paying better.
Well, that's honest. So, what qualifications have you got?
I'm in my last year at school, so haven't taken my final exams yet. But I've been to childcare classes at college, and I've also done a basic first aid course.
Oh, that's very useful. What about any sporting or musical skills?
I'm quite good at tennis. I can play the guitar.
Well, supervising teenagers in a teenager's summer camp can be really hard work. How's your general health?
Good. I go to the gym once a week.
Great. I think you'll fit perfectly. Any questions?
How much free time will I get during the month?
Ah. Have you ever done this work before?
I did this last summer for another organisation.
Why haven't you gone back to them?
You're paying better.
Well, that's honest. So, what qualifications have you got?
I'm in my last year at school, so haven't taken my final exams yet. But I've been to childcare classes at college, and I've also done a basic first aid course.
Oh, that's very useful. What about any sporting or musical skills?
I'm quite good at tennis. I can play the guitar.
Well, supervising teenagers in a teenager's summer camp can be really hard work. How's your general health?
Good. I go to the gym once a week.
Great. I think you'll fit perfectly. Any questions?
How much free time will I get during the month?
That is the end of part two. Part three. Listen to the talk on photography. Make notes about the talk. First, look at the notes. The first one is done for you. You will hear the talk twice.
Thanks for asking me along today. Name's Tim Freeman. I know many of you have just taken up photography, so I want to give you my six, well, I suppose it's really five, top tips for great photos. Tip one, look your subject in the eye. When photographing someone, hold the camera at their eye level. For children, don't be afraid to bend down. Really gives the photo a personal feel. Tip two, move in close. If the person looks small, take a step or two closer before taking the picture, but don't get too close. Tip three, don't always have a building in the middle. The centre of your picture is not the best place for a building. What about the top left corner, for example? Tip four, watch the light. The most important part of every picture is the light. During the day, bright sunlight can look very hard. Try to take pictures early morning or late evening when the light is soft. Particularly good when photographing landscapes. Tip five, use a plain background. Take time to study the surrounding area. We've all seen photos which make someone look like an alien because poles appear from the top of their head. My final point, enjoy trying different things. Now, time for questions. Yes. Thanks for asking me along today. Name's Tim Freeman. I know many of you have just taken up photography, so I want to give you my six, well, I suppose it's really five, top tips for great photos. Tip one, look your subject in the eye. When photographing someone, hold the camera at their eye level. For children, don't be afraid to bend down. Really gives the photo a personal feel. Tip two, move in close. If the person looks small, take a step or two closer before taking the picture, but don't get too close. Tip three, don't always have a building in the middle. The centre of your picture is not the best place for a building. What about the top left corner, for example? Tip four, watch the light. The most important part of every picture is the light. During the day, bright sunlight can look very hard. Try to take pictures
early morning or late evening when the light is soft. Particularly good when photographing landscapes. Tip 5. Use a plain background. Take time to study the surrounding area. We've all seen photos which make someone look like an alien because poles appear from the top of their head. My final point, enjoy trying different things. Now, time for questions. Yes.
That is the end of part 3. Part 4. Listen to the conversation between TV presenter Paul Martin and museum director Amanda Conkey about children's writer Roald Dahl and answer the questions. Put a circle round the letter of the correct answer. First, look at the questions. The first one is done for you. You will hear the conversation twice.
Roald Dahl, what a marvellous storyteller. Is there anybody who has grown up over the last 50 years who can imagine their childhood without his famous children's stories? The BFG, James and the Giant Peach, or Matilda. These are just some of his classic and much-loved children's stories. I've come today to the Roald Dahl Museum and Story Centre to talk to Amanda, who runs the centre. Amanda, you have your own story about Roald Dahl, don't you?
Yes, Paul. I grew up in this village where Roald Dahl lived most of his life after his marriage and where he wrote hundreds of children's books. As a child, our families were friends. I was in the same class as his second child, Tessa. We stayed in each other's houses.
What was he like, Amanda? Was he good fun to be with?
Yes. He was very tall. He seemed a giant when you were a child, and I think he wanted to be the big friendly giant.
Do you have any particular fond memories of him?
He always wanted to take that bit of childhood fun a bit further. So, midnight walks are something that children talk about, dream about, but generally never do. But he would get me and the four children up in our pyjamas and say, "We're going for a walk." And he would take us down the road to this tunnel and tell a story under there. It could be about anything, the stars, witches, foxes, anything. So that was just completely magical.
Can you sum up why he is such a successful writer?
It's hard to say what makes someone popular. He once said, "Most adults have forgotten how children think. I see myself totally on the side of the children." The child is generally the hero. The good children win and the bad children get punished. And he's very funny. What about this poem where he changes the Cinderella fairy story and the prince chops off Cinderella's ugly sister's head?
That is so funny, especially with the silly picture. But don't you think there's a danger that some children might be frightened?
No, Paul, I don't think so, because it's always funny. And as you say, the cartoon drawings are comical, unreal too. He always said it's got to be fun.
I understand he disliked, or he said he didn't like, beards, museums and speeches. What would he think of the museum here?
Do you know, he would be 92 today. He said those things when museums were quite boring. Museums today can be really good fun, very interactive. I think you'll see this one really lives up to him and his books and is a great, fun place to visit.
Roald Dahl, what a marvellous storyteller. Is there anybody who has grown up over the last 50 years who can imagine their childhood without his famous children's stories? The BFG, James and the Giant Peach, or Matilda. These are just some of his classic and much-loved children's stories. I've come today to the Roald Dahl Museum and Story Centre to talk to Amanda, who runs the centre. Amanda, you have your own story about Roald Dahl, don't you?
Yes, Paul. I grew up in this village where Roald Dahl lived most of his life after his marriage, and where he wrote hundreds of children's books. As a child, our families were friends. I was in the same class as his second child, Tessa. We stayed in each other's houses.
What was he like, Amanda? Was he good fun to be with?
Yes. He was very tall. He seemed a giant when you were a child, and I think he wanted to be the big, friendly giant.
Do you have any particular fond memories of him?
He always wanted to take that bit of childhood fun a bit further. So midnight walks are something that children talk about, dream about, but generally never do. But he would get me and the four children up in our pyjamas and say, "We're going for a walk." And he would take us down the road to this tunnel and tell a story under there. It could be about anything, the stars, witches, foxes, anything. So that was just completely magical.
Can you sum up why he is such a successful writer?
It's hard to say what makes someone popular. He once said, "Most adults have forgotten how children think. I see myself totally on the side of the children."
Mm.
The child is generally the hero. The good children win and the bad children get punished. And he's very funny. What about this poem where he changes the Cinderella fairy story and the prince chops off Cinderella's ugly sister's head?
That is so funny, especially with the silly picture. But don't you think there's a danger that some children might be frightened?
No, Paul, I don't think so, because it's always funny. And as you say, the cartoon drawings are comical, unreal too. He always said it's got to be fun.
I understand he disliked, or he said he didn't like, beards, museums and speeches. What would he think of the museum here?
Do you know, he would be 92 today. He said those things when museums were quite boring. Museums today can be really good fun, very interactive. I think you'll see this one really lives up to him and his books and is a great fun place to visit.
That is the end of part 4. You now have 2 hours and 10 minutes to complete the rest of the paper.